Welcome. This three-hour online course reviews the 2005 version of NFPA 70, the National Electric Code, as a design guide in common English. Because the book is so massive, a list of key changes and critical requirements precedes the further discussion of the code. You must have access to a copy of the 2005 National Electric Code to check the exact wording of requirements for your interpretation on design and construction questions. It is not intended that a top copy of the book is needed at your computer as you take this course or quiz, but it'll help. Optional narrative. In response to users' requests, narrative material is included in this version of the PDH Online National Electric Code course. Paragraphs in boxes, you'll have to trust me that I'm reading from a box now, like this one, contain references to previous versions of the code, reports of field experience with plans examiners and contractors, and extraneous opinions. Content is not included in the quiz. The National Electric Code changes substantially with each revision and gradually as trends in enforcement spread across the country. This course has a strong component of focusing on changes that first appear in the 2005 National Electric Code. Also included are critical sections that cause problems, both to provide a reference to the relevant code section and to point out both the problems and available solutions. Optional narrative. The code-making body, this course, and authority having jurisdiction. The reason we follow the National Electric Code is to get building permits, get occupancy permits, avoid fires and injuries, and avoid liability when we have to explain to a judge. A building permit is among the first steps in almost any construction or remodeling project. It's necessary to release funding monies in most cases because it is a document of feasibility of the project and concurrence to the concepts of the project by a public authority. A superficial view of the process suggests that following the code should be easy. Unfortunately, there are many forms of the code. The written code, available for about $65 paperback from www.nfpa.org, is the basis for everyone. And unfortunately, the language requires interpretation. The National Electric Code Handbook, available for about $100 from www.nfpa.org, is the interpretation of an editor who was involved in writing and approving the code. The handbook is not enforceable. Let me emphasize that. The words of the basic code are enforceable, whatever they mean. Sometimes it takes interpretation and authoritative qualification of what it means, but the code is enforceable, with a few exceptions we'll look at later. The handbook is not enforceable. Now, let's go a little further than the written version of the course does. The handbook contains every word of the basic code, and then an approximately equal amount of graphic illustrations and narrative discussion. It's the graphic illustrations and narrative discussion that aren't enforceable. If an inspector red tags your project, said you can't proceed, this is wrong, and you show him a picture just like it in the code handbook, he can say the code handbook is non-enforceable. I'm the authority having jurisdiction. I say it's inappropriate. Now, he's right, and maybe you're right. And who decides when two people are in contention like that? Well, there has to be an appeals authority. And in every organization, there is an appeals authority. Unfortunately, it delays the project. So let's talk now about enforceability. The basic code is enforceable. The code handbook narrative and graphics are not enforceable, but they're very indicative. And this idea of inspector demeaning the handbook is real unlikely. It's possible, but not likely. The handbook indicates to the engineer, to the contractor, and to the inspector what was intended, but each user can interpret for himself and go to an appeals hearing to get legal enforcement. The code handbook, again, is recognized by everyone in the field, but discounted because of its lack of enforceability. There's an International Association of Electrical Code Inspectors, www.iaei.com, a very highly respected voluntary organization which interprets difficult code sections and shares enforcement issues with its members. Membership in the IAEI and publications are available to interested persons. Again, the content is persuasive, not enforceable. There are many more sources for code interpretations, with less and less authority and more errors introduced. This course is one of these. The author is sharing his professional engineering interpretations, but our course opinions are not enforceable and probably not too persuasive to an appeals board. Serious design questions deserve time investment in studying the National Electric Code, the National Electric Code Handbook, and talking to the plans examiner or inspector, that is, the authority having jurisdiction. Building permits are usually issued by plans examiners in the Department of Building Standards. Occupancy permits are issued after passing all building inspections. Each examiner and inspector has a different set of experiences and has encountered different problems which he wishes to avoid on this job. Examiners and inspectors regularly impose code requirements, that is, requirements on projects which are not in the code, using the broad wording of the general workmanship section or other sections. These interpretations are enforceable but appealable. Another optional narrative: should you buy a paperback copy of the National Electric Code? My recommendation is yes. Nothing matches underlining and highlighting important sections. It's very portable and makes copies or scans easily. Should you buy a hardback National Electric Code Handbook? Some people can't live without it, and you have to analyze your approach to problems and your approach to solving them. This is one good approach. The people I work with are in this group. They like having a book they can underline. They feel more substantive when there's 5 pounds of weight under their arm carrying it around. I prefer the CD Handbook, which is a Folio Views product, or the CDNEC, which is an Adobe PDF product. Both are searchable, which is very, very valuable. Now, let me step back and say that again. Both are searchable. One of the shortcomings of the National Electric Code is the table of contents doesn't work very well, and the index doesn't work very, very well. It is extremely difficult to find an answer to a question. You know the question, you know it exists in the code, and you can't find it. And the searchable capability is just unbelievable as a time saver. You put in associated words, it'll give you a list of 10 places those words are used. Now, it's a very stupid search facility. If you've used Google or a legitimate search engine, they add plural and delete plurals and do smart things. This one isn't. You type letters, it looks for those letters. And it does work to the extent that you can choose the keywords. It finds the keywords. In this discussion a little later on, we're going to find something about GFCI receptacles. GFCI receptacles appear in 3 different chapters, and the rules overlap, and they aren't well referenced internally to the code or in the index. But you can find it fairly easily using the searchable version. And again, that's a personal recommendation. There are people who are very good at scanning and they can find things like that. I'm very good at running search engines. The 2005 NEC handbook is copy protected, so it works only on one desktop or on one laptop until you get a new laptop. That's got to do with the way the copy protection works. 2005 CDNEC is not copy protected. Sits nicely on your office PC, your home PC, your laptop, and on the machine you use at the construction trailer. It is very efficient to do a screen print and paste into an email or Word document when a question comes up. And believe me, the actual printout of the code is more persuasive than anything you can say. Most of these questions are not determined on good sense. They're determined on what does the code say. The quiz at the end of the course is intended to enhance your understanding of course materials and increase your confidence in applying the code. This course is intended for project managers, electrical engineers, engineers and architects who work with electrical engineers, and contractors who must deal with electrical inspectors. It's the job of electrical designers to meet the sometimes peculiar requirements of the National Electric Code. This course is intended to help them recognize the sometimes peculiar requirements, how they are generally interpreted, and just a little how to meet them. Project managers, architects, and supervisors need a passing understanding of the mindset of the National Electric Code and some recent problems with inspectors that can be avoided. Contractors are always looking for more economical ways to complete a project. This course helps focus on problem areas, but better guides for economy can be found in the exceptions and fine print notes to the code, which are not addressed here. This course begins with a compendium of key changes and critical requirements associated with the 2005 National Electric Code. Some of the requirements are not new but have been ignored and are getting new attention for enforcement. Others are long-standing but continue to cause trouble for installation contractors. The second component of the course is an annotated table of contents. This is your roadmap to look in the right place to find answers. The annotations emphasize portions which you must fully understand for normal electrical design and review of electrical designs. In this audio version, the introduction we're doing now is about 15 minutes of your time. The first half of the content narrative is 49 minutes. The second half of the content narrative is 33 minutes. And there's some closing discussion that runs another 30 minutes. And the course includes a multiple choice quiz at the end based upon the changes, critical requirements, and table of contents. At the conclusion of this course, the student will be able to identify the referenced code section. And once again, it's the code which gets enforced. The section where the wording appears is of key importance. So whenever we have a discussion, I'll have a phrase that's what we're talking about. I'll have in parentheses the section to go to the code to find the actual words that we're trying to enforce. Then I'll have an English language discussion, not code language and not recognizing the exception. What is the core focus of this section? And then a little narrative following that. But our goals at the end of this are that you be able to know the significance of the new electrical construction rules in the 2005 National Electric Code. Know how to apply the 80% rule. Now, this thing is tremendously interesting. If you do a search on the 80% rule, you will not find anything. It doesn't exist. In the National Electric Code, it's the 125% rule. And I think the discussion will be interesting to you if you haven't been through it before. How to calculate acceptable voltage drops. How to ground and bond the electric power service entrance. Now, this is a big change for 2005, and it's an expensive change. So if you have no interest except making sure a project comes in on budget, pay attention to this part. Understand the new computations, which require 43.3 inches clearance in front of 480-volt equipment. Understand the change in grandfathering regarding ground fault circuit interrupter receptacles. Understand ground fault circuit interrupter requirements for commercial kitchens. And this is nasty. I'm not happy of any of the conclusions I reached on it, but the purpose of this course is to point out what the code is saying and warn you of problems ahead of you. Understand the 2008 requirement for bedroom arc fault circuit interrupters. Understand the basic requirement for short circuit withstand and the implications for owners, designers, and installers. This deserves special emphasis. Again and again in the code, they start talking about short circuit withstand. This is the amount of fault energy available if somebody drops a wrench in the wrong place. The code cares about this. That means the enforcement people care about this. And something to be haunting the back of your mind at all times, OSHA inspectors care about this. OSHA has an interesting inspection procedure. They wait till somebody gets killed, then they tell you what you should have done. Now, if you find that bothersome, then take it as your responsibility to anticipate safety hazards and avoid safety hazards, if nothing else, to give you a good answer when you're standing in front of the judge. Understand the requirement for labeling wire color codes on all panels. Understand current interpretations of the requirement for arc flash labeling. You talk about smoke and mirrors, arc flash labeling has more smoke and mirrors than any other section of the National Electric Code. Understand the minimum NEC and OSHA requirements for arc flash labeling. Understand that a good fix for arc fault problems may increase the hazard to workers. Understand the actions necessary to achieve selective coordination on emergency power systems. Understand the design problems from the physical property that currents do not split equally on multiple conductors per phase. Understand the need to increase conductor size when routing through industrial ceiling space. Understand the reason renewable fuses are outlawed for new installations. Understand the requirement for shielded medium voltage cable above 2 kV. Understand the new requirement for service grounding to foundation rebar steel. This is one of those expensive things that you can't get out of. Understand why concrete may explode if you ground to foundation rebar steel. Understand the changes in grounding requirements for remote transformers. Understand the new electrical protection requirements for variable frequency drives. And by the way, this is one of the peculiar situations where it became easier for us instead of harder. Understand the change in the 1200 amp 10-foot rule for electric rooms. Understand how handholds are applied to meet the code. Understand the requirement for a ground detector on floating power systems. Understand the requirement for industrial panels that apply to building automation. Understand the changes in emergency lighting for auditoriums. Understand the limitation on automatic lighting controls in electric rooms. So at your convenience, move on to the next section, which begins our content discussion of changes in the National Electric Code.